The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Blake Bauer. Blake is the author of the international best-selling book, You Were Not Born to Suffer. Each year, he helps thousands of people who cannot find effective support from conventional psychology, medicine, and religion. Blake is a world-renowned teacher and speaker with an extensive background in psychology, alternative medicine, nutrition, traditional healing, and mindfulness meditation. Based on both his personal experience, overcoming deep suffering, addiction, and adversity, as well as his professional success with over 100,000 people worldwide, Blake's pioneering work integrates what he found to be the most effective approach to optimal mental, emotional, and physical health. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hi, Looney. Thank you very much for having me.
It is my pleasure. You have a wealth of a background, and it's all around meditation, you know, nutrition, and mindfulness. And this is very key, and I would love to pick your brain about it. But first, tell the audience a little bit about you.
Well, is there anything in specific that you'd like me to focus on?
Sure, let's talk.
That's a very general question.
I like your topic on... So your background, what led you to actually focus on you were born not to suffer, right? So what took place in your life that actually triggered that title and to write about that niche?
Absolutely. That's a perfect question. So I grew up like a lot of people in a very dysfunctional family around a lot of psychological and emotional dysfunction, around addiction to different kinds of drugs and alcohol. Just a lot of unhealthy behavior. Mm-hmm. And then as a young man, as a teenager, I got heavily into drugs and alcohol myself. I was around it. And because I was numbing my own psychological and emotional pain that I never learned how to talk about or deal with in healthy ways. And by the time I was 18 years old, I had been arrested a number of times for drug possession and quite reckless behavior. And I also played sports growing up, and I was a captain of the varsity football team in high school with my two best friends, and we were all supposed to go play college football, all had offers to play college football. Mm-hmm. And one night when I was 17 going on 18, I was out partying very late and had drank a lot and smoked a lot of marijuana. And I had also taken a bunch of pharmaceutical pills, which I was in the habit of doing at the time. And I got to a freight train in the middle of the night, you know, coming through my neighborhood. And I put my car in park as the freight train was passing by. And I was pulled up very close to the tracks. And I put my head back and I fell asleep with the car in park while the train was passing. And I woke up to police knocking on the window. Mm-hmm. And I rolled down the window and I said to the officer, "Excuse me, officer, was I driving too slow?" Meanwhile, I had been parked there for over an hour, and that's just the state of mind I was in. And so I was arrested, charged with possession of all those substances, and got a very bad DUI. And that led me to getting kicked off the football team my senior year of high school and losing all my opportunities to play college football. And so that was extremely difficult at the time, but ended up being the biggest blessing in disguise. So at first, it really just shattered everything that was important to me and my identity or my ego and everything that you know, was meaningful to me. And underneath all of that was a very insecure, confused, lost, tortured soul that I really wasn't aware of, because up until that point, I was very good at running from myself and numbing out and doing whatever I had to do to survive. Mm-hmm. And so at 18, I found myself suicidally depressed and in a very bad place. And then I also felt the pressure of the question, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life? And I had no idea who I was or what the purpose of my life was. And so I moved forward from that age, asking two questions basically every day and with every endeavor that I took up. And that was, how do I heal myself or free myself from my suffering? And what's the purpose of my life? And so those two questions led me to read probably thousands of books on those types of topics, like health and nutrition and philosophy and religion and God. And I went to 5 different universities studying things like psychology, nutrition. And then I went into Chinese medicine, so acupuncture and oriental medicine from different perspectives, all the science-based alternative medicine kind of philosophies. And I worked in the natural medicine field, selling vitamins and supplements and herbs, and worked for a Chinese doctor. So I really went all in into this health and healing journey. And during that process, I also got very into yoga and meditation, different practices that helped me to feel better in myself and find some peace and strength and security and clarity within my own being, instead of constantly seeking that outside of myself. And it's obviously a long story, but it eventually led to a series of realizations where I felt I had some clarity that might help other people who were desperate like me for the answers. And I decided to write a book on the topic of, you know, how do you transform your suffering? And the primary theme behind that is that we never learned how to love and value ourselves as children. And that's really the root cause of all of our problems. And so the healing and the key today is understanding exactly how to love, value, and care for yourself in the present, every day, in every situation, instead of hurting yourself and people pleasing to survive, which is what most people do and learned to kind of get by in the world.
Wow. Yeah, that actually makes sense, because we are socially constructed at a very young age. And so we might have heard something, anything of some sort, like you're not enough, you are no good, or you don't have what it takes. And that kind of sticks with us. And then it directs our decision making and affects our lives in a big way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I like to call them, you know, we grow up with negative thoughts, right? Automated negative thoughts that's just running havoc in our mind. And I'm really impressed with your development and how you overcame all that. What are some tips would you have for people who are suffering and don't know how to quite get out?
Yeah, well, again, that's a really loaded question. So we'll start with a couple of the most simple answers. One thing is to find someone that you feel safe with, that you could start to open up and share your struggles with. Because a lot of us feel ashamed of our pain, and so we hide it or numb it and pretend it's not there. So it's good, you know, if you have a friend or a family member that you can open up to, that's nice. But there's no shame in going to a therapist or some kind of alternative health practitioner, even your doctor. Your medical doctor, and just opening up and being honest about what you're feeling, what you're going through, your fears, your grief, your hurt, your anger. You got to get it out, because the blunt truth is, if we don't get it out, it literally makes us sick, physically and mentally.
It eats you up alive. So true.
It does, very much so. And I can explain all the science behind that, how that develops inside your body, but it causes disease. And so you got to get it out. And another great place to start, which everybody can start right now, is to get a diary or a notebook and start writing out what you're feeling and thinking. And you can write, "Dear Universe," or if you have a faith, you can write, "Dear God," or if you believe that you're still in touch with a loved one, for example, who's passed away, you can write to your grandmother or your grandfather if you feel, you know, a connection to that person. So any way you want to approach it, the key is to just get it out and share it and start to process it, instead of internalizing it or, you know, overeating or drinking too much or smoking too much, you know, or hurting yourself to get away from what you're feeling. So that's one of the most important things that everybody has to do on a daily basis to stay well and to heal, you know, the suffering or illness that you're experiencing right now.
Because it is an illness. I like that, the way you put that. You're absolutely correct. We find alternative ways to numb it down, push it down, as we call it in the Haitian culture, pushing it all under the rug, right? Sooner or later, it has to be swept up.
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you spoke to that voice in your head as a child that you develop, which is very negative and self-critical, and that comes from a few places. One aspect is it's passed down, I think genetically from our parents, because they have it and then they pass it down to us. And then they often speak to us from that place of criticism and judgment as well. So we develop an internal monologue that's similar to if they treat us that way. And then because we never learned how to love and value ourselves, and we learned to hurt ourselves to survive and get by and please mom and dad, that also leads to a lot of self-criticism for hurting yourself on a subconscious level, which we don't quite understand. And it's a web that most of us stay stuck in. And so it's really important to start to look at those things and know that you are not just the voice in your head, and you're not those voices in your head. You're much bigger than that. You're much more than that. And that you can start to shift that narrative. You don't have to be so hard on yourself. And I believe that in humanity, there is like a virus like we're going through right now. There's a sickness in our minds, which is this toxic relationship to ourselves, which is passed down from generation to generation. And everybody calls it normal because everybody has it and everybody's doing it. But I believe the next step in human evolution is to transform that sickness in our mind into a healthy relationship to ourselves that's based on kindness, acceptance, understanding, compassion. And then when we do that, then that's how we relate to the people in our lives, and it's how we relate to the planet, which obviously makes everything better.
Yeah, the self-loathing conversation or self-sabotaging decisions that are subconsciously taking place, like you say. I think it starts with us. It's an inside job. Happiness is an inside job.
Yes. Yeah.
Not looking for external to fulfill that, but actually doing the grunt work. And as you can attest, it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. But also living a lie and hurting yourself is not easy either. So, right, it's like the Matrix, right? You've got this pill or this pill. Which one are you going to choose? Which path? But at least when you're true to yourself, the challenging one makes your life worth living. Whereas when you're not true to yourself and you don't take care of yourself, everything is just really miserable and hard.
Right.
And then life doesn't feel worth living.
Yeah, it becomes such a challenge. And it's exactly. Almost like you're living in the dark.
Exactly.
So this is essentially what you refer to, you know, our struggles and our negative thinking are the cause of our of us rejecting our true being, our true self, who we truly are.
Yes, yes. And more specifically, so it's not expressing your feelings honestly and kindly in every situation. It's allowing your negative thinking to continue without doing something about it, because it's kind of like Lunit, if you and I are in a relationship and I'm abusive, every day you stay in that relationship is a day that you're allowing the abuse to continue, right?
Right.
Because you can make a choice to leave or get away in some way, right? You could run away. There's something you could do. But if you keep allowing it, then you're accountable for that. Mm-hmm. So when you let your mind, and I know, you know, a theme of your show is the morning time, and this is really important. In the morning, most of us wake up and then our toxic mind just starts running.
Right.
And we don't do anything about it. And we're accountable. It's not about blaming ourselves, but it's just being aware that we're actually letting all those thoughts run first thing in the morning. We're not doing anything about it, and we're hurting ourselves. And so it's noticing that. And then it's noticing how we always please and do for others instead of for ourselves, because we were either trained that way, or that's what our mother or father did, or we feel guilty. And these are all these blocks to actually taking really good care of yourself and having time and space every day and every week to meet your own needs and do the things that make you feel well and bring you joy, which is a journey for all of us to really value and honor, you know, in our daily life. So there's a number of facets to ending the self-harm.
Yes, and I noticed that you brought up the morning routine and racing thoughts first thing in the morning and meditation. And I want to talk about your techniques in a second, but meditation, it really helps calming down those, observing those thoughts, those racing thoughts.
Absolutely. Yes, it does.
Tell us, I know you have a technique that you've learned along the way. Can you share with us briefly what your technique is?
Yes, absolutely. So for everybody listening, I would love for everybody to get a sense for it. If everybody listening could take some nice deep breaths into their belly through their nose, this technique comes from the lineage of the Buddha, and it's what's been passed down for over 2,000 years now. It's actually the foundation for all mindfulness that became kind of popular in today's culture. Comes from Buddhist meditation. They all go back to Buddhist meditation, Zen meditation. They're all very similar. And it's practicing observing your body and your breathing. And then when you notice that you're lost in thought, you bring your attention back to your breathing and back to your body. It's very literal, feeling your body, sitting wherever it is, standing wherever you are. And ideally, when you're doing it, you're either sitting or lying down first thing in the morning is okay. And the key is you put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, you close your mouth, you breathe through your nose, and you breathe as deep into your belly as you can. And you can even put your hands on your belly, your lower belly, your lower abdomen, if you'd like, and breathe into that area. And then every time you notice that you're thinking, you know, thinking about the laundry, thinking about what you have to do today, thinking about your shower, thinking about breakfast, thinking about your coffee, thinking about someone you're mad at, whatever you're thinking about, the technique is to actually say the word to yourself just inside, not aloud, to say to yourself the word thinking. And when you say the word thinking, you're just objectively labeling the fact that you're thinking instead of just being aware of your breathing and your body. And so when you say the word thinking, you use that as a cue to shift your attention back to your breathing and back to your body. And every time you do that, you are building the muscle in your mind to make the choice to not be the victim of negative thinking, to not get lost in your thoughts, but to come back to the present moment, to your body, to your breathing, and to this practice of self-care. So all it is you feel the breath come in, you feel the breath go out, you feel your whole body sitting wherever you are. And when you notice that you're thinking, all you say is thinking. And you come back to your breathing and you come back to your body. And if you say, oh, you idiot, you're thinking, or oh, you're so stupid, think, if that's what's coming up in your mind, or you say, oh, I can't meditate, all of those are just a thought. If you say, oh, I'm a bad meditator, I can't do this, all you do is say thinking and come back to your breathing and your body. If then your next thought is, oh, I'm so stupid, I can't do this, all you do is say thinking and come back to your breathing and come back to your body. And what happens is most people convince themselves with their own thoughts that are sabotaging you that they can never meditate. But the truth is that you're giving up too quick and you're making excuses in the same way you probably make excuses in all your life. And so in every area. And so if you can break through this and call every excuse, every judgment, every criticism and come back to your breathing and come back to your body, you will break through much more present and feel much better, you know, after you do this practice. And so, Lunit, I recommend starting with 10 minutes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's really all you need. 10 minutes will change your day like 10,000%.
Right.
Because the thoughts we think first thing in the morning go out in and ripple into the future. And they create our day. And so if you're not mindful of the thoughts you're thinking in the morning and they're just unconscious and they're fear-based or stress-based, then your whole day you're going to be stressed. Your whole day you're going to be insecure and coming from fear. Whereas if in the morning you can break that cycle from running first thing, it shifts everything.
Yeah, it really does. And once that meditation process or you start in being intentional about how you start the day, it sets the tone, as you say, for the rest of it.
Yes.
And once that tone is set, and after meditation, you just feel like it's almost like you're a whole new person with a whole new mind, with a whole new being.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's look at, I'm pretty sure meditation is in part of your morning routine. So go ahead, share with us. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Thank you. Yes. You know, for many years, which was a big part of my journey because my mind was a mess, I meditated a lot every day, and I'm kind of got an extreme personality. And so there were points where I was meditating for an hour a day or 2 hours a day. And I personally needed that. And that was my path. But now when I share with people, I share that, you know, you really only need 10 minutes and to begin. And then if you find that you like it and it brings you relief, you can increase that and do more. So for me, when I wake up in the morning, I tend to lay in bed for a while and just do some deep breathing and the meditation practice that I shared with you. And I do it until I feel like my energy is all aligned and I feel strong inside of myself. I feel ready to get up. I feel present. I'm not like getting up and rushing or anxious about something. So I kind of wait for any of that energy to pass. So I continue to breathe and do the meditation until I feel like I'm at my best. And so that can differ. But for people who are new to this, I recommend at least 10 minutes. And then after that, you know, I typically, and this is something I would encourage people to do. I think about what I want for the day. So I kind of am setting my intention. So I'm putting out there the type of day I want to create. Mm. And that's really important because when you don't do that, you kind of just, you'll take what comes and you're going to attract wherever you're at in yourself. And so I think it's really important to think about what kind of day that you'd like to have so that you're sending out into life energetically because your thoughts are full of energy. So you want to think in terms of what kind of day do you want to have? You know, what would you like to achieve? What are some things you can do to enjoy the day or take care of yourself in the middle of your stress and your obligations so you lighten things up a little bit? And then I also like to think about some of the blessings I have in my life. And I think that thinking about gratitude has become a cliche, but it's amazing that if you can just find one or two things that you're genuinely grateful for in the morning before you get out of bed, for example, your bed or the roof over your head or the coffee you're going to have in the morning, anything little that you're grateful for will shift your energy and shift your thinking immediately. And so I do that as well. And then once I've done these things, I typically find coffee because coffee brings me a lot of joy. And so I like to start the day with something that brings me a lot of joy. And I think that that's important too. You know, for some people, you know, they might like to listen to a nice, you know, a song that they love while they're getting ready, for example, something that just makes you feel good. So you start your day with some good energy, some good juju. And it's amazing what that, just these little things can do.
Yeah, I'm hearing from you a lot of, it's imperative to feed your mind, you know, be careful what you feed yourself in the morning, because it really is going to really direct your day from there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love motivation and inspirational stuff in the morning, because also it's scientifically proven that you are at a alpha state, right? So where the subconscious mind is very susceptible to absorbing information at that time. So you don't want to get up and check your phone. It'll go check your email or worse, look at social media.
Yes, that's a very important point.
Yeah, you absolutely just want to start with either affirmation, and I love your gratitude, you know, your attitude of gratitude, finding things you're grateful for, even as simple as the roof over your head and, you know, running water. I'm from a third world country where we don't have clean water, right? We to drink. And so, for me, those are the little things that I'm grateful for, and it absolutely gives you more things throughout the day to be, thankful for.
Exactly.
It really sets you up. Blake, please tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find your book?
It's on Amazon. If you look up You Were Not Born to Suffer or Blake Bauer, it's in every format, you know, a physical book, an ebook, an audio book. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You can connect with me anywhere. My website is unconditional-selflove.com.
Fantastic. Morning enthusiasts. You've heard it here first. This has been Blake Bauer, and contact information will be in the show notes. And he really stresses to not be on self-care, but just love yourself. Start that conversation, do the mirror work, but also find a confidant, somebody you can talk to that's easily accessible, that you can be honest with and with this person. But also, if you don't have that, get a diary, as he said, get a journal, start the writing process, and that will start bringing up some things that are buried. To start the healing process, you have to be aware of where you stand, where you're starting. Blake, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for your presence.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.